So how many of you purposefully spent some time outside this week? Purposefully, you didn't just walk to the barn to feed the cats. You purposefully spent some time outside taking in a little bit of what we talked about last week. Some of you did, all right? Now, I will tell you this. Had I known how nice the week would have was, except for a little bit of yesterday and today, I would have said 10 minutes every day, every single one of you, go outside and sit in the sun. But I'm glad 5 of you listened. That's great. It wasn't a total waste. I'm just kidding. Why did we do that? Why did last week I basically say go outside and play? Boy, that sounds like a really unbiblical type of thing to say. But it's really there. And the reason is because in Psalm 19 it says, look up, because God is speaking up. You should listen up. The message is pointing up, and he wants us to cheer up. And it was all because I think sometimes there's this heaviness that we feel as we go through life, and maybe now, maybe more than we have in the recent days, I don't know. Life goes in waves, and so we feel a wave coming, and we feel like things are kind of rough, and so we need to look up. So let me review with you those concepts and add a few more today. And so the topic of this sermon is look up again. And so I want to go a little bit deeper, and then we'll move on to those topics that I introduced a few minutes ago. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words, and no sound is heard from them. And yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens. It makes a circuit to the other, and nothing is deprived of its warmth. Don't you love fall? I love fall. It's one of my favorite. It is really my favorite time of the year. And we're just now seeing the little bit of color hitting the tips of certain maple trees. And if you go up north, I called a friend of mine out in Montana, and I asked him how things are out there. Well, they have so many evergreens, they don't really get to enjoy this. They get a few yellow trees mixed in with the evergreens. But if you're up in the upper peninsula of Michigan or Wisconsin, it looks much more like this of what we're going to see here in the next 3 weeks. But it's one of those times where God's wordless words and his speechless speech and his voiceless voice just draw us in to his creation. God is pouring forth his communication to us, we can say, through the sky, like Psalm 19. And he is telling and proclaiming and speaking and drawing and painting and declaring the knowledge to everyone who will stop and listen. What a shame that he pours forth his speech and we get so busy and there's a whole world and no one is listening. We sit in rooms with artificial intelligence, a poor copy of the original that comes through our phones and our computer screens and our TV, and we don't look and listen for the real thing. Sometimes we're even outside, right? And we're so distracted and we're so focused, and God is pouring forth his speech, and we don't even listen to what he has to say for us. Psalm 19 said, this happens day after day that he pours forth speech through the sun and the moon and the stars and the clouds and the blue expanse, through the thunder and the lightning. And we could even go as far as saying, in everything that God has made, there is a message and there is a ministry here. And I'll let you know that last week these thoughts were kind of clarified to me through some writings of John Piper. And he uses these 4 words to kind of define what ministry we can see in the creation. And there are these words: humility, hope, healing, and happiness. So I want to take these 4 words, and I want us to go through them, and I want us to hear again, look up again, and hear these messages of how what God is saying to us when we would say through the creation, or specifically through the sky when we look up. The first one is humility. In Psalm 8, it says this, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against our enemies. This little part of this verse doesn't seem to fit. Let's pause there for a moment. It really doesn't seem to fit, but I wonder if at least in part what it's saying is, Mommy, Mommy, you see the stars? Daddy, did you see the sunrise? And then we grow up and we lose sight of those things that God has put for us in the skies. And it's through the praise of children and infants to silence the foe of the avenger. But when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. Let me look at verse 3 and 4 again. When I consider your heavens, when I look up and I see all these things, the moon, the stars, the sky, the planets, all these things, what's my thought? How small. How little that God would even consider me. You see, when we look up, the first thing, the first ministry, the first message that we are to hear is that we are to be humbled in the presence of God. Look at this photo here. Have you ever seen these photos from maybe the space station or maybe the moon? You see Bryant on there? First of all, you got to turn and rotate the earth, but even then you wouldn't see Bryant. You wouldn't see Indiana for that matter. And you certainly wouldn't see me. But what about these when you get there to the, and you turn the camera around from the Hubble telescope and you look out in space? It's hard to comprehend. I get this feeling almost every other day, which is my hope to ride my bicycle every other day. And we use this GPS tracking system. So what happens is my phone has an app and I tell it to track me, and then I go for a ride and then I stop it, and the global positioning system satellite follows me on my ride, and then it makes a little map and it keeps track of where I went and what it looked like and what elevation and how fast. And so you think, man, I did something awesome. I just rode 30 miles or 40 miles or whatever. And then when you push the button to view your ride, go back one, Patrick, it starts out like this. It really does. Not quite as colorful as this, but it starts out there. And then it has to zoom and zoom and zoom and zoom and zoom. And finally, these little orange lines show up. That's my path. And something that I thought was so significant is not even a dust particle in the universe. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be humbled. And it's a good thing to understand. But here's what happens, and this is also a good thing, that the longer we spend in nature, we also hear another message. It's found in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus said, are not two sparrows? What he's doing is he's pointing to the most insignificant bird. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? An insignificant amount of money. And yet not one of them fall to the ground outside the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. And so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows, even when I can tell that your hair is falling out. There's a problem, though. The problem is that we live in a day and age in the church, not just this church, but all around, where the message is God cares about you, God loves you, God's going to take care of you, He cares for you so much, He's going to take care of you, He loves you, no matter what you do, God loves you. But you know what? That is supposed to be the second message. The first message is supposed to be, you're really, really, really small. Because once we understand that we're really small, then we understand how great God's love is. It's James who put it this way. What is your life? For you don't even know what will happen. What is your life? You are a mist. Just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. In Psalm 39, it says this, Lord, remind me of how brief my days are. Remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. For you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is just a breath. It's important that we understand the smallness of ourselves so that we can see the greatness of God. We see it here in Psalm 19. In verse 4, he says, the heavens or the skies, God has pitched a tent for the sun. Now, I don't know. Can you imagine what the psalmist would have said had he known what we know? The diameter of the sun is 864,938 miles across. Put it in picture form, it's this. It's 109 Earth. So they don't even have it to scale there. If you kept drawing those Earths that they have there, they have about 20. 109 Earths across the face of the sun. The sun's circumference is 2.7 million miles. And what God says to this gigantic star, go cruise around the globe and I'll make a little tent for you to do it in. God is big. So that leads us to the second ministry and message of the skies, and that is hope. I think the purpose for me to bring these two sermons to you is because this is what we need to hear, that there is hope. On the day that I wrote and finalized this particular point, the stock market had dropped 3%. The world is in crisis. Our current leaders continue that crisis by wanting to track our bank accounts, drafting women into the military, pushing racial and class division, erasing God from the conversation, trying to tax the miles that we drive, and all these things that we've talked about. It makes us feel overwhelmed. But do you know what Psalm 121 says? And I brought this to your attention last week. I lift my eyes up into the mountains. Now, mountains are pretty big. Mountains are pretty powerful. But what he's saying is my hope doesn't come from even something that big. Where does my hope come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the mountains, the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of the sun. Do you know that the sun puts out every second enough energy compared to a trillion megaton bombs? Can imagine the psalmist who looked up and saw the sun and said, how great God is. Do you know that there could be as many as 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone? It's only an estimate, of course, but there may be 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. Our God is bigger than the sun. In the galaxy, he created the universe. He holds it in your hand, and he gives us hope. Because listen to how this applies to those who understood this. Just think of all the people throughout the scripture who prayed this way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 24, Peter had just gotten out of prison or jail, and it was going to happen again. But they shared what God had done, and they said, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. In other words, they started their prayer with reminding themselves that God was great. If you go back into the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, we have Hezekiah surrounded by 185,000 Assyrians. Sennacherib mocking the living God. And Hezekiah says, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth because you have made heaven and earth. The point is that the heavens and the earth are great, but God who made them is even greater, and that should give us hope. Number three, healing. There's so much that we could say about this. We said a little bit about it last week with just the things that God has made that brings us healing. Charles Spurgeon addressed this over 100 years ago. He wrote a little book called Lectures to My Students, and in that book, there was a chapter to ministers called The Minister's Fainting Fits. Now, that was just a term they used back then to say the times where pastors and ministers go into depression. And here's what he said. Now, listen to this. But first of all, he sets it up. Moreover, most of us in some way or another are unsound physically. So by the way, we're not alone. Here and there we meet an old man who would not remember that ever he was laid aside for a day. In other words, we get so old, sometimes we lose our faculties. But he said, a great mass of us labor under some form or another of infirmity, either in body or mind. Certainly bodily maladies, he says, especially those connected with the digestive organs, the liver and the spleen, are the fruitful fountains of despondency. In other words, when your body goes bad, it drags your mind down to you. And let a man strive as he may against their influence, there will be hours of circumstances in which they will, for a while, overcome him. As to mental maladies, is any man altogether sane? Are we not all a little off balance? I like the way he drags us all in and puts it together. In other words, we all need something, but then he continues and says there's hope for all of us. It is very healthy to realize that nobody is totally normal. Now here is one element, he said. We're not discounting doctors, we're not discounting medicine, but here's one element in the healing process, he says. And I don't ascribe to it any more power than it ought to have, but just don't neglect it in the array of means the Lord gives us to fight the faith. All right? While nature lies just outside the window, calling him, that is these pastors, to health and beckoning him to joy, he who forgets the humming of the bees among the heather, the cooing of the wood pigeons in the forest, the song of birds in the woods, the rippling of rills among the rushes, and the sighing of the wind among the pines, need not wonder if his heart forgets to sing and his soul grows weary. A day's breathing of fresh air upon the hills or a few hours ramble in the beech woods would seep the cobwebs out of the brain of scores of toiling ministers who are now but half alive. A mouthful of sea air or a stiff walk in the wind's face would yield oxygen to the body, which is the next best thing, he says, to the salvation grace of God. Heavy as the heart is in heavy air, he says, every wind that rises blows away despair. The ferns and the rabbits, the streams and the trouts, the fir trees and the squirrels, the primroses and violets, the farmyard, the new mown hay, the fragrant hops, these are the best medicine for hypochondriacs. The sun rest, the surest tonics for the declining, the best refreshment for the weary. For lack of opportunity or inclination, these great remedies, he said, are neglected, and the student becomes a self-immolated victim. Just one way, not the only way to find healing, but one way that's often overlooked. What he's trying to say is we are changed when we behold the glory of the Lord. God has given us ministry of healing. And then I want to mention that he's given us the ministry of happiness. You remember last week what Psalm 19 said, and it's the groom coming out of his chamber. The happiest day of his life. The champion running the race for the glory of the one who's given him the ability. So how do we hear and respond to this message and ministry of creation? Here's the first one. So if you went 1, 2, 3 or whatever, now you're at A, okay? Number 1A. That didn't sound right. Joy comes in knowing that God delights in you. Who do you think he created all this for? To bring him glory, but you're the one that gets to enjoy it. Psalm 147:10 says, his pleasure is not in the strength of a horse, nor his delight in the legs of a warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. What's he trying to say? I think he's trying to say is when you're out there and you look up and you experience these things, you say, thank you, Lord, for this gift of creation that you've given me to enjoy. Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. The message that we should be hearing is that when we look up and sense the gifts of the Lord, that he delights in us. Letter B. When we look up and recognize that this is from a creator, we denounce the lies of evolution. And we sense the mystery of the Almighty. There is something healing, hopeful, and actually that brings us joy and happiness when we can just rest in the mystery of how it all came about and how it all works. When we look up and we assume and suppose and understand what the Word of God is true, that there is a Creator, that there is an intelligence, that there is a God Almighty who is behind it all, then we understand that if He is behind it all, there's this overall drama that He's writing. There's this story that's happening, and that we get to be a part of it. And then we know that if He is in charge, then there is a purpose. And purpose brings us happiness. It's when we lose purpose, which is why I'm going to talk about this in the weeks to come. But when we lose purpose, that's when we lose joy. But when we understand that God is in charge and that there's a purpose to all this, it can bring us happiness. And then, finally, if you want to be happy and you understand that there's a purpose, that God has written you into the story, then what we need to do is to get off of ourselves and out to others and be a part of that story that God is writing. One of the things that we continue to do more and more during the day that we have lived is we have taken the positives of the technological age and we focus on all the bad things of it and we let it impact us. Right now, they will tell you that social media, the more exposure you have, the longer hours that you have, the less positive you feel about yourself and the world and the story that God is writing. The rates of anxiety and depression and low self-esteem rises with the amount of time that we spend on social media. Smartphone usage and social media has increased depression and suicide rates. When they studied more than 500,000 U.S. students between the ages of 8 and 12, between the years of 2010 and 2015, when they studied these people, 33% increase in the number of adolescents with high levels of depression symptoms, and 31% more died by suicide. So how do we reverse that? We get off of the devices and out to other people. And we start investing beyond ourselves, and we start going and doing what God has called us to do. And so we look at the sky, and we forget about ourselves. Robert Frost, not necessarily what we would call a theological teacher, but he was a nature lover. And he understood where nature came from. It's a little off season because he wrote this in the spring, but it's called A Prayer in Spring. And he says this: "Oh, give us pleasures in the flowers today, and give us not to think so far away. As the uncertain harvest, keep us here, all simply in the springing of the year. Oh, give us pleasure in the orchard white, like nothing else by day, like ghosts by night. Make us happy in the happy tree, or bees, I'm saying. And make us happy in the happy bees, the swarm dilating around the perfect trees. And make us happy in the darting bird that suddenly above the bees is heard. the meteor that thrust in with needle bill and off a blossom in midair stands still. For this is love, and nothing else is love, that which is reserved for God above, to sanctify to what far ends he will, but which it only needs that we fulfill. What a poem to capture what we've been trying to say. To look up, to hear God speaking up, that we should listen up. The message is pointing up that God wants us to cheer up in the knowledge that he is in control. Would you stand with us today? Lord, we thank you for this message. What an amazing thought. An amazing God. This whole universe around this one planet that sustains life, where you have placed us and where you sent your Son for us. And so we are the recipients of all that you have done. That should make us happy. Lift our spirits. Increase our joy for how good and how great you are, that you should love us this much. May we take in the message and the ministry that you send through your creation and through your gifts of sustained life and water and wind and the sun and the warmth. May we praise you. May we trust you. May we look up and cheer up and give you glory with our lives. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today. We certainly want to give you praise, not only on this day, but every day, for who you are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.